The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
There's no escaping what is the big news story of the day, and it is the collapse over the weekend of the testing and tracing system, particularly the tracing side of that equation. It came up, as you'd expect, in the Dáil today. Take a little listen to Micheál Martin.
I got a text last evening, which included the Irish Times article. That's when I first knew. So I wasn't informed of this operational measure that the HSE undertook in response to the extraordinary demands that they were under at the weekend in the context of the community tracing. Currently, there's 400 now actually employed in the contact tracing now. There will be 220 before the end of next week added, and there'll be ongoing additions.
That was Micheál Martin speaking in the Dáil a little bit earlier. The very first thing he said there is what I want you to concentrate on. He found out about this last night when someone sent him a text message with a link to the Irish Times article, Simon Carswell's story in the Irish Times. Here's my problem with that. About 15 minutes before that article appeared, I was sitting on my sofa last night and my phone buzzed. And someone had sent me a copy of the letter from the IMO, the Irish Medical Organisation, that they sent out to all GPs saying that the system had collapsed and that the GPs would now have to refer close contacts for testing. In other words, I was sitting on my sofa last night in Kilkenny watching Paul Hollywood taste people's tarts on Bake Off, and I knew more about what was happening with testing and tracing than the Taoiseach. Those responsible within the testing and tracing system, they were able to inform their higher-ups in the HSE. Those higher-ups in the HSE were able to inform the IMO. The IMO were able to inform their GP committee. The GP committee were able to inform every GP in the country, basically. And nobody thought to inform the government or the leader of the country. What a shambles. Ilona Duffy is such a GP. She is based in Monaghan. Ilona, what has this shambles materialised like for you on the front line today?
Well, I suppose the shambles for many GPs was that they actually hadn't seen the email coming from the IMO, and they also became aware of this by listening to it on national media this morning. And facing into another busy day dealing with the increased COVID presentations and dealing with the many, many people who have acute medical problems as well, they now were told that they were going to have to deal with arranging tests, referrals for all of the close contacts. And again, we got no real detail on that. We've received a bit more detail about it today, but it seemed to be, you know, we could have thousands of people because we were being told that 2,500 people, I think, had tested positive, and all of their close contacts were going to be told to immediately ring their GP. And obviously it was clear that this was just going to crash our systems as well.
And did it crash your system? How many calls or how many people have you been dealing with today saying, I think I might be a close contact?
Well, things are so busy today that normally I have another role on a Wednesday, but I've had to come in early this morning and deal with and try and manage the extra demand because we just couldn't cope with the level of calls that we were receiving. And that's what I'm hearing from colleagues around the country, that the level of calls has just been really high. And again, some of it, because we weren't really sure what we were doing as well, we were kind of accepting calls and being told by patients, you know, I'm a close contact, I've been told I have to contact you. And while, you know, listening to national media, we were told that those people would get a text or would be advised further to a text that had come to the initial positive case. It was very hard to get that information from people because the first thing they hear is you're a close contact of somebody who's positive. Mm. There's immediate panic because they're thinking, what if I have it? What about people around me? Who are the people I could potentially have infected? So again, for us, there was a lot of calming down, a lot of talking to people, a lot of trying to find out where you're really a close contact, and then obviously the process of arranging to refer them for testing.
And how difficult is that? Because I know, like, sometimes it can be very straightforward to work out if someone's a close contact. If you're living with someone who has it, you're an obvious close contact. But there can be complex cases where people maybe have been mingling in workplaces, in shops, at sports facilities, whatever it happens to be. And there's dedicated teams within the public health system who try to work out who's a close contact and who's a casual contact. How difficult was it as a GP this morning to have to put that hat on?
Well, I think there are two things. Number one, I think people were kind of ringing saying, when we'd say to them, well, were you contacted by the person who is positive? They're saying, well, no, but I know I was, and they mightn't remember. And again, like that, as you say, it could be that some of these people weren't true close contacts. They may have met for a short period of time with masks on, being the 2 meter distance, and not actually meet the criteria. But obviously the anxiety is so high and trying to get clear answers was very difficult. And as you say, the contact tracers have the time and are trained in doing this, and they're able to look at scenarios with regards to assessing how long somebody was together and deciding, do you really need to be counted as a close contact? And I think the big thing as well is many people are really anxious, because if you're a close contact, that's it. You have to go into self-restricted movement for a fortnight, meaning you can't work, you can't go to school if you're a child. So all of the worries, all of the time that was taking, was unfair on us as GPs, who are really trying to keep the show on the road. Because remember, we're the only part of the healthcare system, apart from our A&E departments, who haven't closed down, who haven't been able to cancel clinics, cancel appointments. Every other aspect of the healthcare service did that while we remained open, and are busier than ever because lots of services still aren't working in the hospitals, and those patients are coming to us as they deteriorate or as they're worried about an appointment or a test being cancelled.
Have you seen an increase over recent weeks in people staying away for non-COVID issues? Obviously, this was a huge problem in the initial lockdown. It became less of a problem when numbers dwindled. But as they've come up and as there's been more talk of serious lockdowns, have you seen less and less people presenting with the usual ailments?
I think people now know that they should contact us if they have anything of concern, and that we'll talk them through it and arrange to see them as needs be. I think one area of concern is perhaps, and we've seen this with regards to the cervical screening and people not showing for appointments or following through on the letters of invitation. We're also worried about our flu vaccination clinics, that again, another workload, especially those with the children's vaccines, that was landed onto general practice when in other countries it would be done through the schools by our public health colleagues. But what we're finding is people are now saying, well, that can wait. I won't go ahead with the smear. I won't go ahead with the routine kind of stuff. And we're kind of trying to say, well, it's really important that we don't let that fall back, and especially cervical smears, especially flu vaccinations. And I think, Kieran, the important thing is, why has this happened? Like, surely this should have been predicted. Number one, we always knew that we were going to see a further surge. That from the beginning, Mike Ryan and the World Health Organization has said, you'll dampen it down, it'll come back up, you'll dampen it down again. So we knew this was going to happen. Yet the HSE let contact tracers who were moved from other areas go back to those other areas without replacing them. And also, they've continued to be so slow and inefficient in their management of people who applied to be contact tracers. Many retired GPs or part-time GPs put their name in the hat, said, I'd be happy to do this. And I can tell you that those GPs are only now getting word and being accepted into the roles.
Yeah.
And the form that you fill in, they have to put in their Leaving Cert results. Like, it's a complete joke.
Like, and just to bring it back, I suppose, to where we started, I know maybe in the grand scheme of things, it's not the biggest issue, but it doesn't send the most positive message when the Taoiseach doesn't know that this has happened.
It doesn't. And I think, again, it goes back to the messaging. We know that there are continue to be problems with even the education and the message we're getting out to the public. This is why people are so confused with regards to how long they should isolate, how long they should self-restrict. But you are right. If the Taoiseach of the country doesn't realise this is happening, there's a problem. And also for us, those who are being expected to do this work, for it to be so confused. Like today we received a bit more clarification telling us that those people who do require, who are the close contacts, only need one test. So as GPs, we only need to refer them for one test. That's something different. That's something new that the public aren't aware of and the GPs are only now becoming aware of. So again, we have to be saying we want clear messages to make sure the systems work well. And that definitely hasn't been happening and continues obviously not to happen.
Yeah, like I said, what a shambles. Ilona, thanks a million for your time. I know an incredibly busy day, always busy, busier today probably than usual. So we appreciate it. Ilona Duffy, Monaghan based GP. Jess Kelly, this mightn't be the only problem on the desk of the HSE, senior management in the HSE, when it comes to tracing close contacts. What have you found out?
So it has been confirmed in the last hour to News Talk that close contact alerts were delayed on some iPhone devices from the COVID tracker app. Now, I'm going to tell you how this came about, what this means and what you need to know.
Yes.
So two people, one of whom works here with us in News Talk, flagged an irregularity with their COVID tracker app with me last week. Both of these people people are iPhone users, and both were seeing a message in their settings on their phone when you go to exposure notifications that read, your exposure log has not been checked in 14 days. Now, this is obviously worrying, as it's the exposure notifications that enables the two phones to do the digital handshake, and that's what helps the contact tracing process.
Yeah, so that if I test positive, then those people who've been exposed to me through my app, as in identified by my app, they get a notification.
Exactly. So you and I have been sitting here now for about 15 minutes. If we didn't have the partition between us, and if our phones were in close contact, shorter than 2 metres for that duration of time, and one of us tests positive, one of us would get the notification. We have been back and forth with the HSC on this. We flagged the issue with them last Thursday. This is something that our colleague from Newstalk here has been cooperating with the HSC on and trying to resolve. And this afternoon, and over the last number of days, I suppose we've received a number of statements, and I'm going to read the explanation to you now.
Okay.
But I'm going to pause a bit and just explain, because some of it is a bit wordy and I had to have a few cups of coffee to try and comprehend it. But they say the issue was caused by an authentication token not synchronizing correctly within the app. This led to failures in exchanges and downloading of files between the mobile phone app and the IE key registry. This has been fixed on the server side, which corrects the problem for any affected devices and resolves the issue. This does not impact the EU rollout of the project, which went live earlier this week, which will increase the number of keys downloaded, as it includes Germany and Italy. So what you need to know from that bit is that we flagged the issue, they have worked on the issue, and the issue has been resolved. But we go on. They are introducing improved validation in the next steps of the app, which will be released next week. Along with this, we are improving monitoring of the back-end database to ensure better visibility at a global level and to identify similar issues. This issue is localized to iOS only. The app does not require an app update or any user intervention. We have, over the last number of days, gone around the Newstalk office. This is as scientific as I get. And I found that it's not universal across all iPhone devices.
Yeah, and we should say it's just iPhone. This isn't Android.
It's not Android. No, okay. It's just iOS. So anyone with an Apple phone. Now, initially, I was thinking that it was just older iPhones, because the people who flagged this with me were iPhone 8. However, one of my colleagues I just spoke to before coming into you now has an iPhone XR, and on his exposure notifications, he went into exposure checks, and it was updated for the first time since the 9th of September yesterday. So yesterday was the 20th of October, and his exposure notifications hadn't been checked since the 9th of September. So that's a significant period of time. Now, the HSE continued to say this is not an issue that has been widely reported to the HSE. Once it was brought to our attention, we took immediate action to investigate and we're now improving the monitoring of the system.
Not widely reported, though, I suspect, because most people wouldn't know how to find out if they have been affected by it. I wouldn't have a clue how to find out.
No, this is something that, you know, it did strike me as a bit strange. The guy that we work with who brought it to our attention, he's a bit of a nerd, right? And I say that one nerd to another, it's totally fine. He went looking for the stats. And I think, you know, a lot of the messaging around the COVID tracker app when it was first launched was put it onto your phone, leave your Bluetooth on if you have an Android phone, and forget about it. You don't need to do anything with it. So nobody would really go looking for this information. But clearly two people did. And that's how we here at Newstalk raised it with the HSC. What the HSC has said is any affected phones would still have exchanged the beacons with other phones, i.e. normal operation. The issue impacted the process by which a phone checked to see if it had a close contact with another phone. This process involves downloading files containing random IDs from people who have tested positive for COVID-19. Then the phone compares these IDs to other IDs it collected. This aspect impacted any affected devices. So that means, again, back to the scenario, you and I both have iPhones, let's say. Our phones were still doing the handshake, so it was still registering that we were in close contact. But at the end of the day, it wasn't cross-referencing its own database to tell you if I had, you know, that I had contacted COVID-19. So you weren't getting that update. You weren't getting the close contact
notification. Which was the whole point of it.
Yes, indeed. Now, they have continued to say that the app is designed to catch up on any missed files it hasn't downloaded if for any reason the phone is offline, no connection switched off and so on.
But September 9th was when our colleague last got updated. I mean, it's no use then that he finally gets updated yesterday and they say, oh, on September 10th, you were actually a close contact of someone who tested positive. Isn't our app great that it remembers that and it uploads it once there's been a delay?
This is the issue, and this is something that I have, you know, been communicating and trying to track down since Thursday of last week. The HSE has said, though, that close contact alerts were delayed. They've been tracking the metrics to see if there's any change, and the ratio of close contact alerts to random ID uploads hasn't changed. Mm. It's usually 2 to 2.5 alerts per each upload. This would indicate that it did not have an impact on this. So look, that's a very comprehensive statement from the HSE. And as I said, like, I'm not, you know, questioning the app in any way, shape or form, but this is far from ideal. As I said, you know, a colleague of ours is showing that his database hasn't been checked since the 9th of September. Today is the 21st of October. We're not sure what devices, how many devices are impacted. We're not, you know, fully sure if the app is, you know, if this is going to be the full answer, if this is the end to the issue. They are saying that they have worked on it. They are saying that they're putting better measures in place, but it is really not ideal. What I would say to people is don't just ditch the app. It is still worth having on your phone. If you are unsure, you can go into the settings on your phone, scroll down on your iPhone, scroll down to exposure notifications. And if you go into the exposure log, you will be able to see if your phone has been one of the ones that has been impacted. But the HSE has said that even if you were, you will still get the notification if you are due one, basically.
All right, listen, Jess, thanks a million for doing all that digging for us. Jess Kelly there, our technology correspondent. Plenty of people getting in touch about this. That GP, Ilona Duffy, Mike is talking about, that GP is 100% spot on about the HSE asleep at the wheel in not having capacity in contact tracing. Are our media holding government and HSE to account for this shambles? Get Paul Reid on here and ask for specific figures on contact tracer numbers hired and trained in the 6 months we had to prep for the winter surge. Someone else says, I was in a large department store in Henry Street in Dublin this morning. Many of the staff were not wearing face masks. Well, the issue of face masks, wearing them, fines for not wearing them, something we're going to ask the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, about after this break.